get a little thirsty or a little hungry. So we want to make sure she's got all that she needs. So we've got a cooler full of drinks and snacks to keep her up on the way. Okay, so taking care of her. So are we doing good so far? We got her taken care of. All right, now it's raining today, and it could be raining on the day that she runs. So we want to make sure that she can be protected. So we'll have this umbrella for her, and that'll be great because she'll be dry. Right? Are you with me so far? Okay. Now, studies have indicated that if you are listening to music while you run, that you go significantly faster. Okay, so we've got music ready to go here for her. So we'll give this to Ellen, and let's see, how can we do this here? Let's try there. Okay, there, got it? All right, so now she's fast, she's fed, and she's dry, and she's doing great. But as she's going along, it's possible that she'll get tired, and she'll need to take a break. So how about one of these? I mean, you can't get any handier than a chair like this. It's pretty lightweight. So let's just go ahead and get her all set. Oh, it won't fit there. Let's see. Can we do it here? Can we? How can, let's go, right. Can it fit in your thumb? There you go, right there. That's good. Okay. And then one more thing. In case she trips and falls, we want a first aid kit so she'll be all set to go. So I think that'll balance right there just fine. So how do you think she's going to do? Well, she's all set in a way, but she's probably not going to be moving too fast, right? Well, have this image in mind then as we begin to look to God's word this morning. How about a hand for Ellen for being a good sport today? All right, she's already moving faster. Look at that. All right, so let's turn our attention to God's word, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We were in 11 last week, today in 12, so let's stand in honor of God's word. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. There, and let's just read this one together. It's short. Let's read it out loud. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is God's word. You can be seated. So it seems from this passage that we're reading this morning, it's from a letter written to, we call it the Hebrews. We don't really know for sure exactly who this letter was written to, and we don't even know exactly who wrote it. It was assumed early on that Paul wrote it, but when you examine it a little more closely, it's up for debate about that. But it's definitely a letter from the early church, maybe even from that second generation of the early church, people whose parents and grandparents and others whom they knew who were just a little bit older than them had received the faith, and it was handed down to them, and they were now needing to pick up the banner of the gospel and continue to live it out and share it in their own generation. And it seems like the early church was getting tangled up, if you will. Because he literally uses that word about throwing off things that entangle. Everything that hinders, the writer said, and the sin that so easily entangles. And he wouldn't be writing for them to put that off and to avoid that if they weren't struggling with that issue in their own lives. So clearly they were. The church was struggling with their focus, and they were needing to take responsibility for their own growth. Are you with me here? When you tell somebody else about Jesus, maybe it's someone in your family or a friend or someone that you've known or even a child, when you're passing the faith on to them. At first, they are very vulnerable and connected to what you are saying, right? They receive from you this truth, and they receive it into their lives. And when they first receive it, it may be just a wonderful and exciting experience for them, and they begin to grow into that relationship with God. And at first, it's all kind of easy, right? You feel forgiven of your sins when you come to faith. It feels good to be connected to good people who know the Lord. And then after a while, some of that shine begins to wear off, and you still have to get up for work every day, and you still have all the responsibilities at home, and it gets complicated, and you have questions, and you have thoughts. And it's good to know you have someone you can go to for resource and strength. But you know, the longer we go in the journey of faith, we realize that we can't just rely on the faith of others to build our own faith. Amen? And if you live long enough on the planet, then some of those people that you have trusted in and who have encouraged you, well, they begin to go home to be with Jesus, right? And they're not here anymore, and you have to figure out how to keep moving forward in faith. Well, the church was coming to that point in their history, in their story, where it was time for them to take responsibility for their own progress in faith. So the writer here is being very direct that it's time to get rid of some of this stuff that's in the way. We've already seen from chapter 11 that they were likely complaining about things. And they were saying, hey, I thought Jesus was coming back. What's up with that? Or, this is hard trying to follow him. And, you know, maybe some of the things we used to do were just as good. They were complaining, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, saying they wanted to go back, which was crazy, right? For the children of Israel to go back to slavery under the cruel hand of Egypt just because food was easily provided for them. But if they would have remembered carefully, it wasn't much food, and the daily requirements were nearly impossible. So they were, these people too were complaining and maybe considering turning back on the faith, and they were reminded that all those people that inspired them, none of them, although they could have, ever seriously considered going back. They pressed on, they moved forward in faith, they got through the struggles, and they got to the better place of a life that makes a difference in the world. And maybe this generation were starting to make excuses, and they were saying, it's just too hard, nobody understands, I feel alone. Or maybe they just weren't paying attention, and they were so distracted by all of the daily activities that the importance of faith was simply drifting off to the side of their lives. And I think that's been a temptation and a struggle for every single generation, if we're honest, amen? Once we get busy with our families, it's easy to lose track of just how important keeping God first is. When we first come to faith, it's so clear. We need forgiveness. We need a connection and peace to God. We need a people to belong to. But once life gets a little busier and a little more complicated, and we don't feel quite that same urgency or fear that we felt before, it can easily get set to the wayside. The early church was getting tangled up. And the writer to the Hebrews was saying, let's get rid of everything that hinders. Let's set aside that sin that so easily entangles. Well, I think it's still true in our day that we get weighed down by lesser things. We too get a little bit tangled up with things in our everyday lives that really don't need to have our full attention. Amen? There are things that we can suddenly look at, we can suddenly get fixated on, we can decide it's the only thing in the world that matters and this needs to change or nothing good is going on. And when we do that, we miss the best things that God is up to in our midst. So this morning, think about your life. Take a little bit of stock of what you're doing with your time on a daily basis. What are the things that you can control that are hindering your growth. I want you to set aside everything in your life that feels out of your control, that you think is boxing you in. Forget about those things, right? Instead, consider the things you are choosing to do with your time, with your resources, with your energy. How many of them are actually contributing to your growth in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Here's some things to think about. Do you get competitive with others? To where you start comparing what's going on with your life and what's going on in theirs. I think this is what makes social media so unhealthy for us. Because it just feels impossible to avoid comparing our life to somebody else. And of course, they pose 36 times in just the right light to get the selfie to look just like it does, right? And you try to do it and you're just never happy with how yours turns out. So, their life's better. They're better looking than me. Or on this vacation, right? They take this beautiful beachfront photo, but nobody sees and hears everybody screaming at each other right behind them, right? Or the storm that was just on the horizon and it actually rained that whole day. But you don't know that because you have this photo that's intended to make you feel jealous. And so the question is, why subject ourselves to this stuff, right? We lived our lives happily without knowing exactly where so-and-so was this afternoon. We have enough problems and friends and family in our lives right here where we are, amen? We don't need to be taking in what everybody's lunch looks like and thinking their lunch looks better than ours. I'm telling you, this can eat away at your mindset. Now, some of you don't even know what social media means, and so you just, but just trust me, it's not a great thing. If you don't have it, you don't need it. But if you have it, how does it enter into your thought life? It's probably more powerful than you even imagine. Do you judge others too quickly? Do you look them up and down and decide whether they're worthy in a moment? Do you decide again what others should be doing and not doing? Now, I'm 52 years old now, that I just can hardly even get that out, to be honest with you. I've lived long enough to have raised some kids and seen some things happen and had a few jobs to where it's getting to the point where just about anything I see, I've got an opinion on how it should be and how it should go. Now, I'm sure none of the rest of you are this way at all. I'm being sarcastic, and you better be smiling when I say this, right? The older we get, right, we do have opinions about things. But all of these opinions need not be spoken. Amen? Some things are worth saying in the right context, in a spirit of love to people that you care about and who know you care about them. Amen? That can make all the difference in the world. But things that just blurt out of our mouth as if we've got Tourette syndrome or something, these are things we need to work on, that we let our tongues be things that give gifts of encouragement to other people whenever possible. Because those little barbs, they really have an effect. They can go deep, and it can be hard for people to recover. So, is this an area where we stumble? Hey, welcome to being human. It's okay to struggle with this, right? But let's struggle with it. Let's try to leave it behind. Let's try to move forward in faith. A couple other small examples. Do you let yourself fall into the trap of thinking and talking about God rather than talking to God? We've had some prominent leaders among evangelical churches and worship bands, etc., in the last several months and years, who are suddenly coming to a place where they're not sure if they believe anymore. And they're making these very public displays, often on social media, of their struggles. And what I notice in the trend of all of it is that they've allowed themselves to focus on their doubts and their concerns until they're talking about God as if God is just a subject in a textbook. Are you hearing me this morning? And not a living and breathing God who loves us, who has poured life on us, who gave us life, who gave us Jesus, who's ready to take on all of our fears and concerns and burdens, who's ready to infuse us with life whenever we need it. Amen? So when we get to the point where we're talking about God, like what God ought to do about this, or even just what the church ought to do about this, and it's never about what God's doing in our lives now, if we can't testify to what God is doing in our lives now, maybe it's because we're not letting God do anything in our lives now. The word that we read this morning said that Jesus is the author of faith. Did you hear that? He's the pioneer and the one who makes faith perfect. So if you have a question about how it all adds up and how it all works together in life, why don't you try going to Jesus, the one that gave you that sense of belonging before? And I think it's just very worthwhile to stop talking about God until you've spent some time talking to God. And it's a serious way to get through what can be a very serious stretch of doubt and struggles in the Christian life. Other questions to consider, like the passage says, what besetting sins are setting you back, right? What besetting sins are setting you back? What are the kinds of things that you stumble on over and over again that you know better and yet you find yourself there? These are things that we can move beyond. Again, there's not a single Christian that doesn't have an area or two of struggle, areas where at least it's a very powerful temptation for them. And we need to enter into those areas seriously, prayerfully, with doing battle with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might overcome them. Now, some people I've met are obsessed with the area of their life that they can't change, that they think needs to be changed. And that's unhealthy. If the only thing you ever think about is the ways that you fail spiritually, you really can't make progress. It doesn't work quite like that. What you have to focus on in times of struggle and areas of stumble is God. Like the word says, fix your eyes on Jesus, right? He is the one that can help you see it. Sometimes there's one area where we want God to lift this burden off of us so we'll be free of this struggle, and we're focusing on it. But God's kind of trying to talk to us over here about this other issue. And we don't want to pay attention to that issue right now because, God, why aren't you helping me over here? And you keep bothering me over here. I need you to work here. But if we'll listen to God, it may just be there's wisdom in giving the attention over here. And this may be the key to unlocking some progress over in this area that we're concerned about. Are you tracking with me this morning? We need to listen to the voice of the Spirit and the things we know that are setting us back and that God keeps prompting us about. We need to not put off and not grieve the Holy Spirit, not resist the Lord's working in our lives, but instead be open to his direction. That is, if you want to make progress. If you want to get stuck where you are, then just have your eyes on others and other things. So, if to sum all of this up, the writer to the Hebrews is pointing us to Jesus as the answer to all of the above. Amen? Whatever it is this morning, if you're struggling with comparison, if you're struggling with judging others, if you can't keep your tongue to yourself, if you're worried about things, if you're talking about God instead of talking to God, if you're finding yourself giving in to things over and over again, turn your eyes upon Jesus. It can be just that simple to make that turn. And yes, there will be work that follows. But we can see the way forward. Looking to Jesus is incredibly important, no matter how you're stumbling this morning. Well, here's the good news. Jesus empowered the early church to overcome their doubts and fears and struggles. Amen? Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because we have their letters still today. Amen? They made it through the time of trial. They made it through the times of doubt. They made it beyond their fears, and they found a rhythm in learning how to run in the race with God, and they passed the faith on to yet another generation. Amen? That's why I think letters like the letter to the Hebrews are such a gift to the church, because they help us to see that handoff from one generation to another. They help us to see that sometimes that's messy, but we can't give up. Amen? Because they did manage to get it handed off. And those who were struggling and doubting and stuck in the mud, they did find their way to freedom and moving forward. And the faith and the church went on for more and more generations. But we also need to hear it as a word of caution. We can't write off a generation, amen? Just because they're different than us, just because they struggle in different ways than we did. Or maybe they don't even struggle in different ways than we did. And that's why it bothers us so much, because as we watch their struggles, we are reminded of our own. This morning, Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And he is the one that saw the church through this season, and he will see us through as well. But as the writer said, looking at their circumstances wasn't going to show them how to be better disciples of Jesus. Looking to Jesus has always been the only answer, because others will let us down. Amen? There's no human being who is perfect. Others will stumble and fall, but they also may get back up and be better than they were before. Amen? Leaders are human also. But often when we're down on others, we haven't been looking to Jesus. So from the beginning, Jesus was the only power source for his people. So how did the early church do it? They did it through prayer. That's how they focused on Jesus. They did it through searching the scriptures together. We see that again and again. And they found words of comfort and encouragement. And some people had written down the words of Jesus, and that became the four Gospels that we have, thanks be to God. We have those precious words to turn to when we aren't sure which way to go. But they also hung out together like we did yesterday. And so let us not forsake the gathering together as some have been in the habit of doing. But instead, let's fellowship and encourage each other all the more as we see the day of our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. But also, this is what can be the kicker for many of us, where faith becomes more than just a philosophy of life, just me and Jesus, or just me and my friends. And it becomes the mission of our lives. Amen? And when it becomes your main purpose in life, to share the good news of Jesus with others and everyone, let me tell you, that opens up fresh vistas every morning, where you get to see God at work in the lives of others and in your own life. Amen? Karen was in the checkout line not too long ago and spoke kindly to someone at the store. And you know what? That lady showed up at the party yesterday. I sat next to someone and burped. And that was Delisa in the hospital. And I said, excuse me. And she said, it's fine. And a conversation started, and Ellen came in, and we had coffee, and now Delisa and Charles are among us, right? Where would we be without them? We appreciate them. So we can find a way to have our hearts and our lives just really belong to God and really be poured out. And I think that's where the church found its rhythm again, as they began to share Jesus and share the hope. They could see it. When you're active with your faith, that's when it becomes even more real. So this morning, Jesus shows us how to run. Now this morning, we had Ellen up here, right? We had her all decked out. She had everything she needs, right? But that's no way to try to run in our lives, right? And that's the picture that's there when we allow these other things to distract us. What we need to do is move forward in faith, so we've got to let go of many of these things that would otherwise hinder us. So I've got some pictures. I think they'll come up okay. If not, we can skip this part. But this was us lined up at the start of the 2015 Chicago Marathon. just us and about 40,000 of our closest friends. And right at this moment, they were very close friends, let me tell you. Shoulder to shoulder, crammed in. But as we were beginning, it was very cold. And I think we stood there for an hour or more in this line waiting to begin because there's so many people that have to start. We were a long way from the starting line. And so here's what we looked like at the beginning of the run, all layered up because it was so cold that October morning. Now, we were all excited to begin, but we weren't really prepared at that point to move forward. So then here we are in the line, and it's getting close to the time to start, and we're starting to shed some of these clothes because we know that that moment is appearing, and we're going to have to get used to the temperatures as they are anyway, right? And so people began to take off all of these extra layers. And they had people there with garbage bags who were collecting it all up, and it was going to be donated to homeless shelters and places that people actually needed these clothes that we were needing to discard. And then finally, we were off and running. And the fifth runner in the line there is Ellen running across. She got the best time out of all of us. And it was just a wonderful day once we finally shed those extra things. And we were running not just for ourselves. The only reason we were out there was to try to raise money for clean water for children who needed it in places that didn't have it. So we were running for World Vision, trying to connect with a purpose and with a mission. We pressed on. Now, we didn't all make it to the finish line. And this is what my leg looked like when they made me quit and gave me a giant bag of ice as my knee was coming apart. But that day we raised, I believe, $4,000 for clean water and our little huddle of people who went and did it. But Ellen made it to the finish line, and here she is. And then so did Rachel and John, and here, and, oh, and there's me too. And we also, and so, because I got to the finish line eventually, I just had to ride a bus and have an old guy push me in a wheelchair, but that's a whole other story. But we pressed on, amen? We didn't turn back, and we gave it our all. And when we reached the line, we knew that we had moved forward and we had run for a higher purpose. When you're young, don't let that be an excuse for doing little or nothing with your faith. Amen? Even though you're busy and your family is a priority, and absolutely. And if you're a child or a teenager, you've got homework to do, you've got a lot of responsibilities, but you can still shine for Jesus. Amen? And when you're old, don't let that be an excuse either. Amen? There are some things you can't do, but there's so much that you can. And the wisdom that you've gained is needed if it's shared lovingly and in the right way and with a little bit of a filter, amen? Well, find what Jesus has made possible for you and focus 100% on that. Find your fit, but find and keep that close connection to Jesus. You can't really follow Jesus very well from the sidelines. It just doesn't work. Let's go back to Hebrews 12:1. Let's read this together. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run. Running requires a deeper faith because things start moving a little faster. But don't wait for deeper faith until you start trying to run. It works together. As you begin to try to run, that will deepen your faith by taking action steps. And what you believe becomes more real to you when you put it into action. And then that lets you run more freely, and now you understand where you're going better. And that's how you gain momentum, my friends, and you keep on trucking for Jesus. And you make it through the hardest times, and you make it forward to the best days with Christ. As you leave behind old entanglements and just brush them off. Well, this morning, what can you let go of that's hindering you right now? And what sins can be left behind for what's better? No more standing around. It's time. We saw it yesterday. We see the need that's there, right? Let's run. Let's run in freedom, leaving behind everything that hinders. Let's run and let's find out together all that God has for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts even better than we do. And Lord, some of us are too hard on ourselves and some of us are too easy on ourselves. But Father, you're just right in how you love us and guide us. And so may the searchlight of the Spirit help us all in this moment. Help us to see the things we're focused on that we don't need to focus on. And Lord, help us to just make a quick shift to look to Jesus right now and just leave that behind. And Father, if we've been struggling with an area of sin, it's time to move forward, but we can only do that under your direction. So without being obsessed over it, help us to discover discipline. Help us to find the path forward that you have for us. Help us to seek out the resources and the help and the prayer and the encouragement we may need. But now's the time. We don't want to stumble anymore. We want to run. And Father, this morning I'm going to pray especially for anyone who's just been stuck in the area of thought life and discouragement and doubt. And Lord, help us to just get unparked and get in motion in our life with you. And instead of thinking about you, Lord, may we look to you. We know you made us. We know you love us. We know you've poured so many good and wonderful things into each of our lives. Lord, let us just rest and fall back in that in this moment. And may we then find strength to do what the Scripture told us to do today. Let us run. With your eyes closed, if God's talking to you about anything specific, whether it's an area of distraction that just needs to end now, would you just acknowledge that? If the Lord's talking to you about an area of sin, and you've got new resolve to leave it behind, whatever your issue is this morning, would you just acknowledge that and lift up your hand with no one looking around? Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. May all of us be able to run with perseverance, to run in freedom through the gift of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Be especially near to any who have been struggling, and may today be a day of moving forward. May we not try to run with all this baggage, but as we leave it behind, may we fix our eyes on Jesus, and may it inspire us to greater things. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand together.